Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I just love to be among the people of God. Most all of my life since the Lord called me to preach, I've been among the best people on the face of the earth. And friend, that's worth something, just to associate with and fellowship with the best people on the face of this earth. Amen. And I look out across this congregation, and you folk look so refreshing. I'll tell you, I love to see holiness people who are holy people. And I'm glad you're holy in your appearance. And we thank God for that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, and just the last part of verse 7, Daniel 12, last part of verse 7. It says, "And when he shall have accomplished," now it's talking about the devil here, talking about Satan, "and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Or in other words, he said, when the devil has brought enough confusion in the church so that their unity is destroyed and the Holy Ghost cannot have free right away, then he said, the end will come. You know, folk, I believe we're almost to the end. I believe we're almost down to the iron and clay age of the church. And the iron and clay will not mix. And it just seems like I've gone to so many churches, didn't know one thing on earth before I went, and I came here not knowing one thing on earth. But you know, in so many of our churches, there's such confusion anymore. I've said so much about this, I don't know why, but there's so many walls and barriers that exist between people. And when the enemy can somehow push his way in to destroy the unity of the church, if you want the Holy Ghost to come, we have to be in one accord. Amen. Well, I'm talking to us tonight from the thought we need each other. Now, friend, we do. We need each other. And I won't be able to finish this message. I'll probably just barely get through the first point. But we need each other's love. Don't you think we do? We need each other's love. We need each other's confidence. We need each other's strength. And we need each other's encouragement. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, and verse 7, it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." We may try to appear self-sufficient and independent, but friend, we are dependent upon one another. God made us dependent beings. You remember God had no sooner made a man than he looked down and he said, "It's not good that man should be alone." So God made that man a helpmeet. He made him someone that he could lean on, someone that would encourage and strengthen him. Somebody said, "A man is not complete without a woman." And then they said, "He's finished." I don't like that. I'd rather say he's whole. But God made us so that we are dependent upon each other. We're dependent upon our companions. We're dependent upon God himself. We are dependent beings. So I want to notice that first thought for just a little while. We need each other's love. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That just simply means that we're to be plumb full of mercy. Bowels of mercies. Kindness. That means there may be times when we'll be firm, but we'll always be kind. Humbleness of mind. That just simply means that we'll esteem another better than ourselves. We'll not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Long suffering. That just simply means that when we're just about to run out of patience, we shift gears. We shift over into long suffering and keep on going. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now, this is what holy people are supposed to have. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Listen. And above all these things, put on charity or divine love, which is the bond of perfectness, or which binds everything together in the church in perfect harmony and unity. Now, friend, I like that because I believe that's what God intends for us to be clothed with. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Newton, wait a minute. You said, you mean you're one of those love preachers? I sure am. Well, you say, Brother Newton, I believe you can take love too far in the church. Well, it might be possible, but I know this much. Friend, if you take it out, there's nothing left. And to be honest with you, I don't believe you can take love too far. You might take this filial love, this just sort of brotherhood of the church, you know, and we're supposed to just love, and this mushy type love. You might put that might be go too far in the church. But friend, you can't take this matter of divine love, agape love. You can't take that too far. The more love you get, God is love. And friend, the more of divine love we possess and take hold of, the more of God we have. You know, the Apostle Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or divine love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, he said, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The Apostle Paul was trying to tell us how important it is that we get genuinely saved and sanctified and maintain divine love in our heart. You know, the world looks at this altogether different. I was in a home some time back, and they happened to have a magazine of Princess Diana and of the tragic accident that took her into eternity. And I leafed through that magazine. I was very, very disappointed because there were several places in there where she was in a semi-nude condition. And then they just lauded her to the heavens. I read just a little bit of a few articles, and oh, they were talking about her social programs and what a terrific woman she was and how she helped the poor And friend, they just made it so plain there was no way in the world she couldn't be anywhere except in heaven. You know, they didn't say anything about the fact that she was living in adultery. They didn't say anything about the fact that she died while she was with some other man other than her husband. But friend, that's the way the world looks at it. They think, my, if you just do these good deeds and all this, you're just... I thought about those precious children, hundreds of them, over in Iraq and in these Muslim countries. And they trained them from the time they're just infants. They trained them that they're going to give their life and that they're going to go straight to heaven. And then later on, they strapped that bomb on them and then they let them go into the midst of a crowd and they blow themselves up and blow others up. And my, they think that they're going to escape just right out to heaven. But you know, the Apostle Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or divine love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, many a time I've come to that portion, charity never faileth. And I've asked God to help me because I have worked with some of what you would say the most conservative, some of the strictest people on the face of this earth. And friend, I'll have to confess to you, not always. Oh, I've seen some that were just strict, but they were so sweet and so loving and kind and tender. But I've worked with some and I've seen them act in such a way. Oh, such a terrible attitude. I've seen them speak so unkind. And I've seen them do some things I thought to myself, charity never faileth. Why is it that sometimes you see among what you'd say they're the choice, they're conservative people, why is it sometimes you see that? And I talked to the Lord about it. You know, I believe the book. I believe it means what it says. I believe when it said charity never faileth, I don't believe it fails. I don't care how ugly some strict person acts. You see, friend, what happens is if the devil can succeed to skim the cream off of your religious experience, he'll leave you with a bowl of clabber. And while you rattle your bowl and eat clabber with a brass spoon, you'll imagine because nobody else wants your clabber, you're the only fellow in the whole world that has the real thing. But Uncle Bud said, I don't propose to eat clabber and drink skim milk when I can get cream for the same price. He said, why should I put clabber and skim milk on my strawberries when the waiter's standing by with a pitcher of cream in his hand and a big smile on his face saying, help yourself, old boy. There's plenty more. You know, in my preaching, I put a lot of stress on this matter of, well, just keeping up to par. Maintenance, that's what I'm trying to think of. I put a lot of stress on this matter of maintenance. You see, friend, it's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to keep saved. And it's one thing to be sanctified, but it's another thing to keep sanctified. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people, one time wonderfully saved, wonderfully sanctified, but got so busy, so taken up with others, until they became careless and they began to drift. And friend, divine love leaked out. And when they got under pressure, instead of showing the right spirit and attitude and divine love coming to the fore, they had leaked out. But charity never faileth. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God forever. So friend, that's why I'm a love preacher. That's why I preach about divine love, charity that fills our heart. When we're sanctified, holy, actually, it comes in regeneration. And when we get sanctified, the Holy Ghost comes in. And you know, it's something that we have to maintain. And friend, that's why every day I seek the face of the Lord. And you know what my highest priority is? My highest priority is, Lord, fill me afresh with divine love. I want to keep divine love flowing in and flowing out. He said, above all these things, above church organization, above church membership, above church standards, above all these things, put on charity. And friend, I believe that's what God intends for us to be, creatures that are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and we're just full of divine love. Praise the Lord. Over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." You know, I read that one day and I thought to myself, I wonder if everybody has the same teacher. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And when I see how some Christians treat other Christians, it makes me wonder if they have the same teacher. I remember when I was pastoring a certain church, this guy in the church was supposed to be the main man, supposed to be saved and sanctified, you know, and turned out to be one of the worst church bosses I've ever tried to deal with. But he walked up to me for some reason or another, he didn't like my preaching. I never have been able to figure out why anybody wouldn't like my preaching. But at any rate, he didn't like my preaching. He walked up to me on the church grounds one day. He looked me square in the eye and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'll ruin you." And he set about to do it. I just mentioned that. I want to ask you tonight, friend, what is there in the heart of a sanctified man that wants to ruin somebody? Brother, ever since God saved and sanctified me, I've never had one desire to hurt or ruin anybody. I don't believe any sanctified individual does. I remember one year I went to conference. And my conference vice president came down to the conference parsonage, and he said, "Brother Newton, I want to talk to you a few minutes." I said, "All right." Then he looked at me and he said, "Brother Newton, have you heard anything?" That's what he said. "Have you heard anything?" I looked at him and said, "What do you mean? No, I haven't heard." He said, "You haven't heard anything?" I said, "No, I haven't heard anything." He said, "Well, there's some preachers, just a few little preachers," and he said, "there's a rumor going around." He said, they declare they're going to pin your hide to the wall during conference. And sure enough, during conference, they tried to pin my hide to the wall. Friend, isn't it good to have a rhinoceros hide? I never retaliated. I never spoke back. I just let them have the floor. And you know, God turned the thing around. It's amazing, friend, when God is there with you, how the old devil can't even get a hold of your hide. Hallelujah. But I ask you, what is there in the heart of sanctified people? You want to pin somebody's hide to the wall. You know, I've heard some preachers call names. Just, in such an ugly way. One preacher, he was talking about these old compromisers. And I'm sure there are preachers that are compromisers. But we've got to love them just the same. There's some preachers that I would feel are just legalistic. But friend, I try to preach the truth and I love them just the same. But this fella made the statement, he was talking about a certain preacher in a church that he felt had compromised. He said, that old dirty, rotten, low-down, stinking compromiser. He said, if he would come by my place, he said, I wouldn't let him sleep in my coal house. And he said, furthermore, I wouldn't give him air if he was in a jug. I thought, boy, what a wonderful example of divine love. And then some of them, you know, they get so much religion, they isolate themselves, boycott others. You know, I've seen some folks that we fasted and helped pray through. I mean, just waited on God and helped them pray clear through and get out into victory. Then lo and behold, in a little while, they get more religion than you've gotten. First thing you know, they'll isolate themselves. So they won't have anything to do with you. I love to find that crowd because I go to where they are and I'll just do my best, just get right in there and just fellowship with them and love them. But there's some folk like that. They'll withdraw and boycott and isolate themselves and they think that's holiness. You know, they get a little stricter in some areas. And by the way, friend, most people that are strict in some areas are not nearly so strict in other areas. But they get so strict that they feel like I'm a lot more spiritual than they are, so they won't come around and fellowship. Let me give you a little secret this evening. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but the Lord laid it on me. So. Let me give you just a little secret, friend. Just because you're more strict in your dress or more strict in your standards doesn't necessarily make you more spiritual than anybody else. No, it sure doesn't. Now, if you have divine love and you love God and God's pouring love in your soul every day, it'll cause you to be careful about your standards and about the way you act and but it won't cause you to withdraw and boycott and isolate yourselves and have nothing to do with some of God's dear children. You know, our pastor used to make a statement. He said, Brother Kendrick, he was a godly man. He said, folk, he said, I can fellowship a Baptist as far as he has gone. Now, friend, that's pretty good religion. Amen. There's a lot of Baptist people that have prayed through. They've got old-time religion. They may not have the light you've got. But I'll tell you, you'll never win them by pushing them aside. No, we've got to love them and fellowship them as far as they've gone. Well, I'm in trouble for some reason. I think I'm fishing in a pretty good hole here. Amen. I want to make a statement I heard Noel Scott make. Maybe you've heard him. Brother Noel Scott said that it was the strictest people. If you think being strict is what makes you spiritual, Brother Scott said it was the strictest people on the face of the earth at that time, with no love, nothing on the inside, that crucified the Lord of glory. And friend, that's true. Why, I've had some of these old-fashioned folk, you know, write out such ugly, mean letters that would just cut to the core. I've even seen some people get so much religion, so spiritual, until there was somebody in the church that they didn't feel like was coming up to par, or maybe they had a little something against them. Rather than go to them, brother, they'd, if they ever called on them to pray, they'd get down and they'd pray at them. You ever heard him? I've seen some people get up and testify at somebody else. Oh, the apostle said, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And friend, if we have divine love, we will love our brothers and our sisters. You remember what Jesus said, St. John 13:35. He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you join the church. Huh? Nothing wrong with joining churches. Oh, I've been in some independent churches. I've been in churches where they don't even have membership. But friend, there's nothing wrong. After I got saved, brother, the first thing I just felt like I joined an army. I was a soldier, and I wanted to get right in the front of the battle. And brother, I wanted to join the church. Nothing wrong with joining a church that I know of. And when I got called to preach, brother, I wanted to join the connection. I wanted to. You said, why, Brother Newton? Because I never did like to be on a loose pulley. Amen. I always wanted to be answerable to someone. And friend, there's nothing wrong with that. Every one of us, we need each other, and we ought to be answerable to someone. And so, I think it was good. That I wanted to join. One lady said to me, she said, you think I'm going to join the church? I certainly am not. She said, I'm not going to come under a church covenant. She didn't come under anybody else either. Some people want to be a law unto themselves. But I'll tell you, friend, when we get this wonderful grace in our heart, we want to be a part of the church. I mean, we don't have to just join somebody, but we want to be a part of the church. And we want to be answerable to someone. Well, is that? Did I misquote that scripture? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Oh, it says, if you pay your tithe. Is that what it said? I'm still missing it. We'll get to it. Maybe I can. But really, friend, there's nothing wrong with paying your tithe. Surely. Why, I was taught to pay tithes from the time I was just a child. I paid tithes before I was ever saved. I heard some time back it said only 18% of professing Christians pay their tithe. I like to fell over. I thought, you mean a man can profess to be a Christian and not pay his tithe? Evidently they can. The tithe, the Bible says, is the Lord's. And the prophet said, will a man rob God? You know, friend, really, if you're professing to be a Christian and you won't pay your tithe, I guess this is pretty crude, but this is the way I feel. If you're a Christian, you won't pay your tithe, I don't want you hanging around my wife. You say, wait a minute, Brother Newton, what in the world's paying tithe got to do with your wife? Well, it has a lot to do with it. You see, friend, if you profess to be a Christian and you'll rob God while He's looking at you, brother, if I'd turn my back on you, you might try to steal my wife. So I'm convinced, friend, if you're a Christian and you're genuine, you will pay your tithe. And a lot more. You give your tithes and your offerings. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Well, it's not joining the church and not paying your tithe. Let's see. Oh, yeah, if you hold high standards. Nothing wrong with biblical standards, are there? Well, I believe every Christian wants to walk with God and hold biblical standards. I believe every old-fashioned church wants their people to have Bible standards. Nothing wrong with standards. But friend, don't ever get to the place where you feel your standards are going to get you to heaven. We've got a lot of people in our churches. They've leaked out on the inside and all they've got left is their standards and they are depending on their standards to get them to heaven. Friend, it'll never get you there. And one reason why it'll never get you there is because there's a lot of people that have a lot higher standard than we do. Oh, you said, Brother Newton, where are they? Well, we've got some down there in West Tennessee. And they won't even drive an automobile. They clippity-clop up and down the roads in a little buggy with a horse pulling it. And I tell you, those women, they dress, they have on black. It goes clear to their ankles, clear down to their wrists. And they've got that black hood. Now, if you want a hair covering, you ought to come down there and look at that. I mean, they've got a head covering. And I tell you, they've got sort of like bridles on the side of it. I mean, if you wanted to look into one of those women's eyes, you'd have to take your flashlight and look up in there. I mean, and friend, if you go into their houses, they don't have any curtains, just a shade. They don't have any shelves with whatnots on it. They don't have any what we would call they don't have any wire coming to their house to bring electricity. Friend, there's a lot of people that hold a lot higher standard than we do. But the sad part about it is hardly any of those people know anything about the new birth. They don't know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God and have divine love coursing through their very nature. So really, friend, it's not standards. You know, it comes to me, I knew a fella. He was an older man, a saint of God, and he loved the Lord. And he'd come around there, just here and there where I was preaching. Came over to the islands and helped some on the islands there. But this man lost his companion. He saw this other woman in time. He saw this other woman. She seemed to be so spiritual. And he got to courting her a little bit, and it wasn't long till they decided to get married. And I don't know how many times he came to me after they were married for a little while. He would come around. He'd pour out his heart to me, Brother Newton. Said, I've made the worst mistake. He said, I thought that woman was spiritual. He told me quite a bit about her attitude. Told me quite a bit about some other things that he said, I don't know what to do. He said, can you help? I said, sir, I'm afraid not. But I came by their place one time. I just wanted to see him especially. And when I walked into their place, he was sitting there at the table. They invited us to sit down. My wife was with me. We sat down, talked a little while. And lo and behold, I noticed that his wife had put on a head covering. Now, friend, you'll have to love me, but I'll tell you, the Bible tells you exactly what the covering is. Does not even nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man, shame if a man have long hair, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. And I had never seen her, and she's probably 65 to 68 years old. Never seen her in the past with a covering on. So being the type fellow I am, as we were sitting there around the table, I just looked her right square in the eye and called her my name. I said, "Sister," I said, "I noticed you have a head covering." I said, "What in the world caused you to put a covering?" She looked at me so humble. "Oh," she said, "Brother Newton," she said, "I just felt like that it would cause me to be so much more humble and so much more submissive." And her husband sitting over there spoke up. He said, "It hasn't done her one bit of good." So I'm just simply saying, friend, it's not your standards that's going to get you to heaven. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you shout and run the aisle." No, I want you to know I appreciate shouting. I feel like some of our churches, we're so dead anymore. I wish we had more of the glory and more of the fire. I wish there was more of those genuine shouts. But I've seen some people shout, run the aisle, that wouldn't even pay their bills. As far as I'm concerned, you can sit down. I've seen others shout. We had a fellow and his wife come to our camp one time. Boy, he got out now and he was testifying. He began to shout around, jump around. And he was double married. He had a living wife. Pastor in a certain church. Tried to make his people feel like that he made reference to himself as an old bachelor. For a long time, you know. And one day, some of his people were out eating with him. They took him or he took them. They were eating in this restaurant. This lady looked across the table and said, called him a name, said, "By the way," she said, "have you ever been married before?" He said, no. Then he looked at her and said, "Did I misunderstand you?" She said, "No, I don't believe you did." And then he came out with it. He had been married previously. And now he had gone through the bachelor stage and he married this other woman. And come over to our place jumping around shouting, "As far as I'm concerned, old boy, you can just sit down." No, it doesn't mean, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Listen, if you have love one to another. Friend, that's the thing that proves that we are his disciples. When we love one another. 1 Peter 1:22, Peter said, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." My, Peter said, now don't expect the Lord to do it for you. You just see to it yourself that you keep the fire burning. You keep love in your heart to one another with a pure heart. That means with no envy, no jealousy, no malice, no suspicion. No surmise. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Fervently. Keep that love red hot. Brother Noel Scott said again, he said, if you keep the love of God red hot in your soul, he said, the worst old hypocrite in the church looks pretty good to you. But he said, if you cool off in your heart, then you can criticize and find fault with some of the best saints in the church. Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Don't you like that? If everybody was sanctified holy, you wouldn't have to lock your house. We wouldn't have to lock our automobile. There would be no need for jails. There would be no need for reformatories. If everybody had divine love in their heart, we wouldn't have to be afraid at all. Friend, there's coming a day when we're going to be in a place where everybody will be filled with love. Everybody will love one another. I want to ask you tonight, do you have this love, this divine love? Friend, it's so important. Without it, we're nothing. No matter what we do, if we don't have it, if we haven't sought, then we know that we're sanctified holy and the divine love rules in our heart. If we don't know that, I'm afraid we're going to miss it. I don't know whether all of, but I was thinking about this pastor, preacher. He pastored the church, and my, he was such a good pastor, but there came a time when he felt like he ought to resign. And so he resigned the church, and he went into evangelistic work. But he wanted to keep that church as his home church, you know, as when he wasn't in a revival meeting. He wanted to attend the church there, and he did. But in the meantime, the church contacted some other preacher, and they got him in there. And he went off somewhere sometime, and there was a lady in the church that was having some real problems, and she tried to contact him, and the phone wasn't at home. And so she just decided, well, I've got to have some help. So she went to the former pastor. Now, this man wouldn't have harmed a flea. I mean, and he told her, he said, well, I'm not your pastor now. She said, but I need some help. He said, I'm trying to get in contact with my pastor, but I can't. And so he went ahead and gave her some counsel and advice. And when this pastor got back, and he heard that the former pastor had given some counsel to one of his parishioners, boy, he got up in the church. He made a statement. He let those people know, I want you to know, I'm your pastor. If you've got to see anybody, you come to me. Don't you go to anyone else. And not only that, he started some rumors and even some lies on this former pastor and showed such an ugly spirit and attitude until when it came time to recall the pastor, he wasn't recalled. Just because of his ugly spirit and attitude toward that former pastor. Well, the thing that was so, well, I guess it'd make you laugh, but this pastor, after he was voted out, decided that maybe he needed to go into evangelistic work. And so he thought, well, the best way I can get recommended for evangelism, he said, this evangelist said he knows the churches and people out there, and he thought, maybe if I could just get in good with him now. And so he began to buddy up to this preacher and his wife, and he even took them out to eat to a real nice restaurant. And when they got back in, he shook hands with him and left a $50 bill in his hand. That evangelist's wife, She got tickled. She laughed. She told my wife. She said it would have been a whole lot cheaper on him if he'd have just humbled himself and asked for forgiveness. Love! Working no ill to his neighbor. Friend, we either have it or we don't have it. But I'm glad God's provided it for everyone. And he said once we get it, we're to abound more and more in love. And John said this was what you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. But we have to have divine love if we're going to love everybody. Do you love everybody? Would you stand with us?